Coming up on podcast 1343, we have BMW talking about the next 3 Series. It will be electric, but stopped short of calling it the i3. Also on the podcast today, from China, we talk BYD, NIO, Tesla superchargers, Geely. Oh, and the Germans say, you know, e-fuels, yeah, they're rubbish. Let's go electric completely. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, last one of the week, Sunday, 16th of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you haven't got to. And thank you very much to every single person, company, organisation that funds this show and gets it on the air, and a new Patreon producer to thank, Glenn T. Thank you, sir. Signing up at producer level, and you can do the same if you want to, but you haven't got to, obviously. This show will always be free, but if you want to, have a look at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. You can get your ad-free feed, you can get your name in the show notes, you can get some other benefits as well. I'll promote your business, like all of our premium partners. Thank you very much for checking that out. Right, Bjorn is your weekend watch today, and I am recording this a little bit later on Sunday, so if you don't get around to listening to this show till Monday, then, I don't know, this is going to be your skive off work for 20 minutes and watch Bjorn Newland, or Bjorn Newland, I think is how I should pronounce his name. Aura, which is a Great Wall Motors sub-brand, are going to be making the Aura Cat. I think it's now called the Good Cat. I thought it was just called the Cat, but either way. Going to be selling it in Europe very soon. Pricing in the UK, we think, will be around £25,000 upwards. 2 battery pack sizes. The 62.4 kilowatt hour pack, they say, will go 310 miles. But of course, China, using NEDC range, no one's going to match that. Actually, Bjorn, who is in Thailand at the moment, taking a break from the Norwegian winter, drove that in warm temperatures, had the climate functions off for much of the trip, and he ended up doing 213 miles with 90%. That is 372 kilometres. Now, he calculated that if he had a fully charged battery and gone all the way down to zero, which nobody does, of course, the vehicle would have gone 261 miles. That's 420 kilometres. Hey, 261 miles, that is mighty, mighty impressive. If I'm looking at the cheaper, I mean, no one wants to call a car cheap, but you know, the car makers themselves, they'll call it more of a value brand, etc. But if I look at the value cars out there, like the new MG ZS EV, with it's around 70 kilowatt hour. It's like 68 usable, I think. You know, that car is going to be around this level, but that is, I think, about £32,000-£33,000. With the top level Trophy Connect long range version, Aura Cat, smaller car, not that SUV size, but still a very, very impressive 261 miles for a small EV that actually, when Bjorn gets in the back and he stretches his legs out, sitting behind himself as it were, tons of room in the back of that car. So it's my recommendation. I've watched a bunch of YouTube EV stuff over the weekend, and that was my highlight. And I will say this, watch part two. Watch it in order. Watch part one first, because there is a heck of a cliffhanger. I'll say no more. Right, we'll start with a great bit of news. You know that 2022 for me is going to be banging on about getting people into EVs. It's the price point of the market that hasn't been catered for until now. And the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality has made big changes to the Oregon Clean Vehicle Rebate Program. As of the 1st of January, just gone, low-income households are eligible for $5,000 back with the purchase or lease of a new EV. Previously, the charge ahead rebate was half that, $2,500. In addition, the purchase or lease of a new battery electric vehicle, then you can also combine that with the standard rebate of $7,500 back. Well, prior to this year, the rebate recipients had to earn less than 120% of the area's median income for the metropolitan area. The new requirements ensure that households who can most benefit from rebates become eligible. Those that are the most low-income families get the most help. Those unsure of their eligibility can check the Charge Ahead rebate program. I'm so passionate about this in 2022. It's going to be a really big part of what I'm talking about on the podcast all around the world. Wherever you are, there are people who would love to drive an EV. It's simply not an option financially. And we need to make sure the prices come down, that schemes are in place, that people get in EVs, because it's more reliable, it's safer for their families. The running costs are lower. And often it's just the case of getting into the EV in the first place. We need to have some systems in place to help people make that step. And you know what? If people earning 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 grand are crying tears because I'm saying they shouldn't be getting rebates for their 100 grand Tesla, well then boo-hoo, keep crying. Seriously, people. And I don't drive an expensive EV, but we scrapped and we scraped and we got the money together and we bought our car, right? And so we're in a hugely fortunate position, and we're not rich. So very, very average family. So many people need a bunch of help, and that's great news in Oregon. Yes, please, more of that. Right, we'll start with some China news. And you know what? Let's do a bunch of China stories, just because it's the weekend. First of all, NIO. NIO just launched a big old building in San Jose. It's going to be the headquarters and innovation center of NIO. And the China-based car maker signed a lease for a building that's 201,000 square feet in a 10-year deal. The new building is going to be their headquarters, their research, their digital development activities, testing, assembly, warehousing, and other operations, according to the real estate agent. Well, that to me says NIO are just winding up. They're just getting ready for a US launch. Not today, not tomorrow, not this year or next year, maybe. But that tells me you'll be able to buy a NIO in the US at some point, sooner rather than later. Why else are you leasing for 10 years a massive building and putting your headquarters there? NIO have a headquarters in the US already. They're just going big. So, I don't know. I'm putting two and two together. I think it's good news for the Chinese influx of cars, which, of course, will be cheaper. Which, of course, goes back to my first point today. Right, 70,000 e-buses have been delivered by BYD worldwide. The Chinese giant just announced the milestone after a decade from the launch of its first electric bus. Writes sustainablebus.com website. Here in Europe, BYD makes public that they delivered 1,800 electric buses in 100 major European cities in 20 different countries. Now, of course, on a global scale, that is just 2.5% of the 70,000 buses they've handed over worldwide. Here in Europe, BYD electric buses have driven over 140 million kilometres, but that's nothing compared to globally. Well, China, because most of their buses are there. BYD's electric buses, pure electric buses, have covered 5.5 billion pure electric, clean green kilometres. That is a lesson in why we need to get working vehicles, buses, trucks, delivery vehicles, going electric even more so than the cars that you and I drive and just sit there in our driveways all day. Now, let's go to Geely announcing their sales across all of their brands. Now, what have they got? So they've got Geely Auto, they've got Geometry, they've got Lincoln Co., they've got Zeekr, that's the new one. They've got Volvo, obviously, and therefore Polestar. Proton, Lotus, LEVC, that is the London, in other words, the London black cab company, but they're making a van as well. They've got Farizon commercial vehicles, 5% year-on-year increase over 2021. They sold 2.2 million vehicles, but of course some of those do have combustion engines. We're worried about the electric stuff, and that grew 70% over the last year. 330,000 electric vehicles in the last year from the Geely Group, and Geely Technology Group establishing around 100 battery swapping stations. You know, it's not just the players that we talk about all the time, you know, the likes of the NIOs. Geely putting 100 battery swap stations into China, and they'll do it in around a minute to swap a battery. By the middle of the decade, 5,000 swapping stations will be in 100 cities, according to Geely. Well, their newest brand, I think it's their newest anyway, Zeekr, is their brand launched last year in 2021. Premium brand, the Zeekr 001, is going to be out by the end of this year in Europe, I believe. At the minute, they've sold about, or delivered about 6,000 001s, only went into production around October time last year. So that's really, really good news for that company. Also in China, Tesla announcing Friday, 2 days ago, that 22 supercharging stations and 128 supercharging piles, of course in China they call them piles, you might call it just like a plug or a unit, have been launched in 21 cities across China in December alone. 22 new superchargers in December, in just a month. Up until now, Tesla opened more than 1,000 supercharging stations and built more than 8,000 supercharging piles on the mainland. In China, offering more than 700 destination charging stations and 1,800 destination piles. The company's charging network now covers more than 60 cities and regions in China, writes pandaily.com. Well, the website says that Tesla recently announced a charging package for Chinese vehicle owners to celebrate Chinese New Year. Car owners can purchase a package. It's 426 yuan. And between January 26th and Feb 8th, you get unlimited charging, unlimited top-ups, and unlimited mileage from supercharging stations, midnight to midnight, Jan 26th, Feb 8th, for Chinese New Year. Seems like a bargain if you do lots of driving. Right, coming up very soon, we'll talk about the headline story, BMW 3 Series, but will it be the new i3? And Honda, a company that says, well, we're not going to be making too many EVs because people want combustion cars. Are spending a ton of money preparing for EVs. Always follow the money, which is what I say. Right, those stories are coming soon. Keep listening. Now we'll talk about how the German transport minister is backing pure electric cars. The debate over how best to decarbonize our road transport is often EVs versus hydrogen versus e-fuels. And in a policy shift, Germany's transport minister has now come out and publicly stated it's over. Game over. EVs, pure electric vehicles, have won the race and are the only game in town for the future. While leading car makers are pivoting to EVs, others in the industry, particularly, surprise, surprise, fuel companies and, surprise, surprise, engine part makers. Here's looking at you, Bosch and the likes of you, have not only argued that synthetic e-fuels are the best way to decarbonise, but also have done some serious hardcore lobbying. Germany's federal transport minister, Volker Wissing, has thrown cold water on the notion that e-fuels will be around to allow ICE cars to go to e-fuels and indeed meet the new emission standards, according to Euractiv.com. Great website. You can support them if you like their work, by the way. Go check out what they do. Euractiv says that e-fuels are synthetic energy carriers created in an extremely energy-intensive process. They're relatively rare right now, very expensive. Some people say that e-fuels are the future. Motorsport, I know, is talking about e-fuels. And you know I'm a huge motorsport fan. I was at Extreme E for the last round of the season. I love my Formula One and electric motorsport. Looking forward to more of that this year, yeah. And a bit of rallycross going electric this year. That's going to be new. Anyway, let's not get diverted. Let's talk about what we are meant to be talking about. Hey, talking about the European standards, by the way, I'll throw this one in quickly because I wasn't going to put this in the show today, but I do want to just mention to you, in case you're interested in stuff like this, there are signs of a further tightening in the EU targets for CO2 emissions for new cars. I think the EU targets, saying that as someone who lives in a country no longer part of the EU, I think those targets have been stunning and done a great job at forcing the automakers to go electric. After the EU Commission submitted their proposals back in July and the summer last year, it's now the EU Parliament's turn, and they are demanding stricter targets until 2035. According to the website electrive.com, Jan Huytema, the parliamentarian from the Netherlands responsible for this department, has presented his proposals to the committee. The ban on internal combustion engines for new cars from 2035. Well, they're not banning combustion. I should point this out, by the way. It's kind of a de facto ban. Officially, they're going to allow cars with a CO2 emission of zero at the tailpipe. So it's a de facto ban, right? As demanded by the Commission, that's remaining, but the interim targets of how we get there, they may well be tightened. And if you're one of these car makers that's like, well, we're going to stick around with some combustion stuff for a little bit longer, you should be quaking in your boots if you want to sell cars here in Europe. Oh, and hey, by the way, we should also mention the next story. This is all moving from one to the next quite nicely today. The Japanese car makers are certainly those saying, hey, the public don't want electric cars. Look at the market share in the US, you know, less than 5%. The public don't want it. Yeah, look at the market share in Norway, 90%. Look at the market share here, 12%. Look at the market share in Germany, 20%. Oh, people want EVs, my friend. If you build them, people will buy them. Supply is the issue. Anyway, the likes of Toyota, Subaru, Honda. Honda are a big one for saying, well, we'd love to make EVs, but no one wants them. Meanwhile, follow the money. LG and Honda are jointly investing in a new battery production facility in the United States, according to a story that I saw in South Korea's Mail Business newspaper on Friday. The potential joint venture between LG and Honda will cost $3.4 billion. It'll produce 40 gigawatt hours of cells. You know, that's enough for 600,000 Honda EVs every single year. So Honda, not wanting to admit they got nothing on the market right now to sell you, therefore the line's going to be, oh, you know, we're not that keen on EVs, they're not that great anyway, please buy a petrol car. Their line in a few years' time, when they've got access to cells, I think you'll find, and let's bookmark this moment, let's come back in 2, 3, 5 years, Honda will say, oh, EVs? Yeah, we love them, they're great, please buy one of ours. Well, LG's battery subsidiary commands more than 20% of the global EV battery market. They supply the likes of Tesla, GM, and Volkswagen, amongst others. Honda and GM are going to be introducing two large EV models to North America. But I say Honda and GM, it's GM, isn't it? They're using GM's cars, GM's Ultium battery technology, not even coming till 2024. But they'll have a Honda badge on. GM will make the Ultium batteries under a joint venture with, you know it, LG. Fascinating stuff, right? Honda are going to make EVs. Everyone's going to make EVs. It's just the ones that are playing the game publicly with their messaging and the ones that are trying to do a bit of a smokescreen and get you to buy the stuff they've actually got in the showrooms right now. Anyway, let's talk about BMW next. Headline story. BMW, of course, heavily investing in electrification, but a company that doesn't want to say goodbye to combustion just yet. In 2025, they will have their new class platform. BMW, a company that led early with the i3 and the i8 on custom platforms. Then management changes, many of which went around the industry to other companies doing better and interesting things in EVs, like Volkswagen. BMW lost their way for a while. Then they went through their power of choice phase of, well, we'll make a bit of everything. The cars will roll down the production line. And, you know, if we need to put a battery in one and an engine in another, that'll be fine. And then everyone pointed out, that just is a massive compromise everywhere. And then BMW went, oh, you know what? We're going to make a dedicated EV platform because we think, actually, that might mean no compromise cars. And you and I went, oh, we hadn't thought of that. Anyway, and so this new class platform, which doesn't come for another 3 years yet, will allow BMW to achieve their target of the high volume EVs in the likes of the 3 Series segment. And there will be one coming. BMW were talking to Automobile Vosch Automobile Sport. And BMW doesn't want to make its buyers only purchase electric cars in the 3 Series segment. So for the next 3 years, they will indeed have a 3 Series that will be hybrid, plug-in, combustion, or full electric. Same car, different powertrains, and they stopped short of calling it the i3, but surely it will be, because in China, there's a long wheelbase version that is that car called the i3. And so I thought the name would go with the what you and I know as the i3, but when that goes, there'll still be an i3, but it's the 3 Series, like the i4 is the 4 Series. So there you go. Almost confirmation. Finally, a couple of stories. We'll talk about battery startup QuantumScape, the energy storage company Fluence, and the company QuantumScape, known for their solid-state batteries, announcing on Thursday morning, just gone, a big agreement to test QuantumScape's lithium metal batteries, but not for cars, for stationary storage. The announcement signals the evolving business plan of QuantumScape, whose backers include VW and Bill Gates, according to Axios.com. So we'll keep an eye on that. And a final story for BP, British Petroleum. Car chargers, they say, are going to be more profitable than pumps very soon. BP saying it's fast electric car chargers, the HPCs, although I think the 150 kilowatts upwards, maybe even the 50 kilowatt upward chargers, are on the cusp, just on the cusp of becoming more profitable than filling up at one of their petrol stations. The milestone marks a significant moment for BP, which wants to shift away from oil and expand operations according to Reuters.com, who writes, EV charging has for years been a loss-making business as a whole for BP and rivals as they invest in its expansion. The division has not expected to turn profitable before 2025, but on a margin basis, BP's fast chargers are nearing the levels that they see from petrol stations. BP saying that the electric sales for EV charging grew 45% in Q3 of last year. Not sure that's global or UK only. I feel a bit sorry for the team at BP. Here they've renamed it BP Pulse. Maybe that's what they've called it across Europe. They inherited, well, they bought the public company ChargeMaster and the Polar Network. They did inherit a bunch of stuff that they're trying to integrate. That integration is enormously painful. I've cancelled my Polar subscription. My wife and I used to have our subscriptions, our cards. I wanted to support the company when it was ChargeMaster. I stayed with it when it was BP, despite the unease of giving my hard-earned to an oil company. It was just so bad. It got so bad. The chargers were turned off. I told you about all this on the podcast. The slow ones were always saying card error. My wife was calling me being like, the card isn't working again. I'm like, they haven't rolled out the fix yet. Months and months and months. I see stuff on my Twitter every single day. My buddy Will, who runs DSG up in Morecambe, sold me my Renault Zoe, and Will will happily send you a Hyundai Kona or a Hyundai Ioniq 5. Give him a shout for those. Just telling me about three failed charges that he had in December, but BP didn't pre-authorize his card, as every other company does. They do a pre-auth, which is they put a hold on it. If you spend some money, they'll then take the money. They took the 15 quid. That's not pre-authorization. That's taking people's money. And he had a real battle. And in the end, they said no, they wouldn't give back his £45 unless he told them the serial number of the hardware that he... So they were asking to drive maybe hundreds of miles back to the charger to find out the serial number. It's madness. Luckily, he paid on his credit card, and so Will claimed through his bank, and they'll sort it out with BP. Come on, it's a massive multi-billion dollar company taking money from consumers. The answer, of course, that BP should have given my buddy Will was, we're very sorry for those three failed charges and for taking your £45 for over a month. Here is your money back, sir. Here it is. Here's your money back, sir. We're very sorry. That's the only response from a company that big. So I've fallen out with... I never fell out with BP. I think the people I know who work there are lovely people. I think it stinks. And I wish them all the best. Hope they get it sorted. But they've got some real, I think, endemic problems that I can't see being fixed anytime soon. But EV is, the EV sector is growing. And by the look of it, their business is growing too. I mean, they do have certainly some money to spend on marketing themselves. And, they got a lot of charges in many places. So let me know your experience about any charging networks anytime. Not just BP. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your stories. And I'll pass them on, like Will's, because it's good for everyone to know what's really happening out there. So, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. The fourth anniversary of this show is next week on Tuesday. You may be listening to this, I don't know, a little bit too late to get in for question of the week. But anytime, tell me what you think of this show. That's my question this week. What can we do? Fourth anniversary is Tuesday. What do you want me to do more, less, new, stop doing? And I'll do it for you. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to our premium partners of the show, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and their sister company, Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley's amazing EV Review Ireland YouTube channel just keeps growing all the time. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. And emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.